Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said this morning that he has not yet responded to proposals for a ceasefire in Lebanon, but he has instructed the military to keep fighting at full power. This follows calls from two members of his cabinet to reject the ceasefire bid, which was made by the United States and France in conjunction with Gulf Arab powers Qatar, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Well, to discuss these developments, I'm joined by Alistair Bunkle, Sky News Middle East correspondent, and also David Wood, policy analyst for International Crisis Group based in Lebanon. Alistair, to yourself first, these calls from members of the Israeli cabinet this morning to reject the ceasefire proposals, along with what we've just heard from Benjamin Netanyahu, his instruction to his troops to keep fighting at full power, I mean, it surely means that this current push for a ceasefire will fail.
Well, the signals coming out from the Americans overnight through briefings were pretty optimistic, actually quite surprisingly optimistic. Within Netanyahu's cabinet himself and within his kind of supporter base, there are already a lot of people pretty annoyed about the prospect of a ceasefire or a truce, whatever you want to call it, happening imminently, because they feel that the momentum is on their side and they should keep their boot on the neck of Hezbollah and keep pushing. Now, that doesn't mean a ceasefire or a truce will or won't happen. I think there is still a lot of talking and negotiating to be done. And I see there being benefits in both sides agreeing to a truce right now. But I have to say, I also see why both sides would not want to agree to a truce right now.
We see how much pressure Benjamin Netanyahu has been in for the last year. And this morning there was evidence of that again when his finance minister came out and said, do not agree to this, keep going, because if you agree to it, Hezbollah will rebuild in that 21-day period. And that's bound to be a concern.
Certainly a concern, certainly a consideration for the Israeli prime minister. The right-wing hardline voices in his coalition are often the loudest. They're not always the most influential. They don't necessarily decide things for Benjamin Netanyahu, although he does seem to have a tendency to follow what they say a lot of the time. It could be that Netanyahu tries to broker a compromise, a seven-day truce, for example, rather than 21 days, in order to at least pay some respect to these American and French-led efforts, but to avoid Hezbollah having the opportunity to rebuild over a longer period.
Okay, David Wood, to bring you in at this point, what do you think Hezbollah's response will be to this proposal for a 21-day ceasefire?
So there's already been a statement from the Minister of the Lebanese Minister of the Economy suggesting that at this stage Hezbollah has been open to the idea of a truce. But really, the kinds of drivers that operate on Israel, as your other guest just mentioned, to continue pressing on against Hezbollah and to press home what it perceives as the current tactical advantage, there is also a strategic game that Hezbollah has, which is that it would be an enormous political concession for Hezbollah to agree to any kind of truce or temporary ceasefire at the Israeli-Lebanese border without there being a permanent ceasefire in Gaza. So from the outset, Hezbollah has stressed that it will continue fighting Israel until there is an end to the hostilities in Gaza. Up until this point, Hezbollah has managed to maintain that despite suffering increasing losses, especially in the past week or so. And despite the severity of the recent attacks by Israel on it, it would be a huge concession to agree to a ceasefire, even on a temporary basis.
So what does Hezbollah want to do, David? Do they want to keep escalating this conflict with Israel, or are they looking for an off-ramp?
I personally believe that Hezbollah has been looking for an off-ramp for most of the past year of the conflict. It has taken very clear steps throughout the past almost 12 months to always retaliate to Israeli operations, but at a lower level of intensity, to avoid a spiral into full-scale war. However, as I mentioned, the political costs of accepting an off-ramp now And the impact it would have on its legitimacy and appeal to its supporters, who have sacrificed family members, both in terms of killing and wounding, but also tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people displaced from Hezbollah's supporters. This is an incredibly high price for Hezbollah to pay if at the end of it, it conceded and reached a new security arrangement with Israel before there was an end to the hostilities in Gaza.
Okay, Alistair, I just see coming in on the wires there that the Israeli military has given a very brief statement saying it's attacking Hezbollah targets in Lebanon, but it gave no further details. Can you bring us up to speed with what's been happening over the last number of hours?
Yeah, Israeli forces are continuing to attack targets in Lebanon. We've heard fighter jets over us, where we are in northern Israel, over the recent hours. There was actually a pretty long period of calm this side, lasted about 18 hours, where no air raid sirens sounded until about 2 hours ago when Hezbollah fired some missiles towards northern Israel. They were intercepted. I don't think there are any injuries. But the fighting continues, and that is the way of things. Even if there is a truce in the offing, you would expect the fighting to continue until the final moment. So I wouldn't expect Israeli forces to take their foot off the pedal at the moment at all. I think they will continue prosecuting strikes against Hezbollah until they're told not to.
And we know, David, that Israel had said for troops to be ready for a ground invasion from Israel into Lebanon. How likely do you think that is?
Well, it seems a lot more likely now than it has at any other stage of the conflict. And I think even until a week or so ago, it seemed like a remote possibility to me. And the reason for that is that it would seem that from the perspective of all parties, an Israeli ground invasion of southern Lebanon is total madness. We can say that because even from Israel's perspective, it's tried several times before to invade southern Lebanon to provide a security zone for northern Israel, and it has never worked out. It's never achieved its strategic objectives, and it's always come at a huge cost to the Israeli military. So it's also worth considering that in the current battle dynamic, obviously Israel has military supremacy. It has far greater air power and is clearly in a dominant position right now. However, as Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, said a couple of weeks ago, a ground invasion would shift the calculus right back into Hezbollah's favor, in his opinion, because it knows the south of Lebanon so well. It has an extensive tunnel system, and it still has a huge part of its arsenal, which is likely stored underground and has almost certainly survived the recent expansion of air raids by Israel. So for all of those reasons, and of course, it goes without saying that that kind of ground invasion would have horrific consequences for an already terrible humanitarian situation in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. So a ground invasion makes no sense for any party involved.
Okay, so Alistair, having heard all of that, what are the options, you know, that Israel will be considering as possible next steps in this phase of the conflict in the context of what David's just told us?
Well, I don't disagree with David, but I do think that Israel will start running out of further options beyond a ground invasion. So Israel's had you can only look at it like this. Israel has had a very successful 8 or 9 days. From an Israeli perspective, they have eliminated a lot of senior commanders. They have taken out much of, by no means all, but a considerable amount of Hezbollah's arsenal, infrastructure, foot soldiers, etc. And it does seem as though they've got Hezbollah reeling and on the back foot. But at some point, assuming the fighting continues through an air campaign, they will have to take a decision what to do next, because if Hezbollah remains defiant and keeps firing missiles into Israel, Israel will feel pushed to take the next step, and that could be a ground invasion. Mm-hmm. They know how risky that is. Hezbollah is not Hamas. Hezbollah has a vast network of tunnels running hundreds of miles through the rock of the hills of southern Lebanon. If the villages and towns above ground are somewhat deserted now, I suspect the tunnels underneath are pretty busy. The fighters who will be there are paid-up members of Hezbollah. They are sworn to fight to the death in the name of the cause. They have been training for this. They will be using their own territory where they have ground knowledge and they have confidence in order to take on their enemy.
David, where is Iran in all of this?
So that's a good question, and a lot of people inside Lebanon are asking that exactly. Iran has obviously condemned Israel's operations in Lebanon in the past week or so, but it's not clear at this point that any huge direct assistance will be coming from Iran. Look, Iran has been very clear from the outset of this conflict that it wants to avoid an all-out regional war following the events that happened on the 7th of October. And there's two key reasons for that. One, it fears losing Hezbollah, which is the crown jewel, really, of its national defense strategy, where it has non-state actors that act as effective proxies to keep conflict away from Iranian territory. Hezbollah is by far the most powerful member of the so-called axis of resistance, and to sacrifice Hezbollah's effectiveness as a threat to Israel, as a deterrent threat, for the sake of the Palestinian cause is probably not something that Iran wants to do. But also, the other reason is that Iran, at all costs, wants to avoid being drawn into a direct confrontation with not just Israel, but potentially with the United States. So for those reasons, Iran is very hesitant to declare itself as supporting directly or a direct intervention in favor of Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, as I mentioned, Hezbollah is an amazingly potent asset for Iran. And if Hezbollah was facing an existential threat, particularly through a ground invasion or even through continued aerial campaigns, Iran may feel that it has no choice but to intervene.
Right. And we heard yesterday in analysis on our program that the Americans will be very reluctant to get directly involved in this. But it sounds as though, from what you're saying, that Iran is not willing to bet on that.
I don't think they'd be willing to bet on it, because it has been the pattern of this war, both in Gaza but also in Lebanon, that the United States has said one thing to Israel, but if Israel has done the other, America has more or less fallen into line. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take much imagination to think of a scenario where this conflict escalates even further, potentially into a full-scale war. Hezbollah starts to deploy some of its high-grade weapons and actually starts to hit very sensitive areas, say civilian populated areas or civil infrastructure, and then Israel can make the case to the United States that it needs to strike back and it needs support to fight a war of defensive necessity. In those sorts of circumstances, the United States, even against its own judgment, could be drawn into this regional war. And this is why, by the way, I would strongly recommend this is the time for the United States not just to support a joint statement supporting the idea of a temporary ceasefire, but behind closed doors to make it very clear to Israel that it will not continue to provide political and military support for Israel if it's to mount a ground invasion or if it's not to massively scale back its aerial campaigns in Lebanon.
All right, something that it has been willing to do up to this point. Alistair, to come back to the situation on the ground, I heard some reports early this morning that some of the hospitals in Lebanon are already overwhelmed now, given the events of last week with the exploding pagers, then the aerial strikes, and of course all of that movement of people. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, it's very, I mean, actually, David, being in Lebanon, I'm in northern Israel, so it might be a better position, but that's definitely what I'm hearing from people I'm speaking to in Lebanon, is that, after the pager attacks, when they received thousands of casualties, it was a very difficult moment for them. If I can talk about the sort of the wider effect on Lebanon, we are seeing tens of thousands of people now fleeing the south, displaced from their homes. That then puts pressure on the infrastructure wherever they go, whether it's Beirut or whether they stop short in cities like Tyre, for example. And more broadly, if you look at the state of Lebanon at the moment, it's in real economic trouble. Its GDP is halved. Its currency has fallen in value by about 98%. A major, major war with Israel, when Israel would then start to target and destroy the airport in Beirut, for example, perhaps the southern districts of Beirut where Hezbollah have strongholds and elsewhere, would be an incredibly expensive rebuilding project. And Lebanon's not really in a good position to undertake that at the moment. And that's an understatement. Mm-hmm. And so if there is a way of Hassan Nasrallah climbing down, and agreeing to some form of a truce, then framing it as in, you know, the best interests of the Lebanese people is probably one way he could do that. He's left with no good options. He has tied himself to the war in Gaza and to defending Hamas. And the ceasefire there has not materialized. And so he is left, I'm afraid, from his point of view at least, with an unenviable dichotomy. You know, back down and face the humiliation of doing so, or continue fighting and face a more mighty army in the form of the IDF.
We will leave it there for now, but thank you both. And we'll bring our listeners any news on this as it develops throughout the morning. Alistair Bunkle and David Wood.